Kathleen Norris tells a story of two women that she knew, both of whom were diagnosed with terminal cancer. The first woman said, "If I ever get out of this hospital, I'm going to look out for number one." Despite the diagnosis, she survived against all odds, and she went on to live only for herself, and as Norris writes, it made her mean. The second woman reflected on the blessings of her life, despite some acute early losses. This woman read the Psalms and she said to Norris, "The one thing that scares me is the pain. I hope I die before I turn into an old bitch." And that's exactly what happened. So the first grabbed at every medical treatment available, enduring months and years of intervention and pain and expense. And she lived. But at what cost? For her life shrunk down to nothing more than her health, her needs, her desires. And as she turned inwards, I suspect that the woman's friends and family began to avoid her, that mean and querulous and demanding woman who sucked the life out of every conversation and thought only of herself. The second woman accepted some treatment, but when it proved ineffectual, she prepared for her death. I imagine that she told her family and her friends that she loved them. Perhaps she also offered and accepted forgiveness. Perhaps she did some meaning making. Perhaps she shared some stories which needed to be told. I suspect that she prayed for people and blessed them and their future without her. Then, before the pain became too excruciating, she died on her own terms, gracefully and well. And I reckon her family and friends continue to share stories about her and remember her with love. So, which woman's choices bore more love and life into this world? The woman who lived or the woman who died? Even as I tell this story and ask this question, do not judge the woman who lived. She is normal. For we are bombarded daily with the message that we need to look out for number one, that we should prioritize our own lives at everyone else's expense. In our society, recreation is all about consumption. Work is all about personal fulfillment. Spirituality is all about individual well-being. We live in the biggest houses in the world and enjoy cheap consumer goods at the expense of exploited workers, both here and overseas. And we do this because, in the words of one famous slogan, we're worth it. We've all been trained to put our needs, our lives, ahead of anybody else's. We are taught to protect them and nurture them and hold on to them forever. And for the most part, our medical system collaborates. And so many of us then live and live and live well past our use-by date until we're wrung out and strung out and everyone's exhausted and there's almost nothing left. Jesus offers a different way, a way which embraces death, yet leads to life. This way is paradoxical. It goes against the grain. For this way says that our lives become worthwhile only when we relinquish our grip on them and entrust them to God. This way says that we truly live only when we're prepared to make sacrifices, even die, for others. This way is not about our own worth, but about other people's worth, particularly the most vulnerable among us. It's a life of service, and a life which does not shy away from the realities of suffering and death, not our own, nor anybody else's. And even so, Jesus promises that this way leads to a deep and spirit-filled fruitfulness. Now, every one of us is going to die. Whether we die fighting at every step, exhausting all our resources and draining the life from those around us, or whether we die resting in God's presence, blessing others and grateful for the life we've been given. How we die will probably depend on how we live. For we all have choices. We can live for ourselves alone, or we can live for other people. We can hoard money and possessions, or we can share them to create community. We can work on our personal status, or we can work on our relationships. We can hold on to knowledge, or we can share it freely. We can prioritize cheap, or we can prioritize fair. We can rely on ourselves, or we can rely on God. We can avoid pain and suffering and death, or we can enter into them, journeying with others and learning what this living and dying business is all about. Every day, we make choices about what sort of life we lead. Every day, we are practicing what sort of death we'll probably have. Whether we will end as lonely and shriveled seeds, clutching at the smallest shreds of life, or whether we will go open-handed into death and resurrection and the fullness of life that they bring. Whichever way we choose, Jesus ultimately draws every one of us to himself. But while this is happening, let's not shrivel up. Instead, let's choose a way of expansive engagement, of wholeheartedness, of mercy and meaning, of surprising strangers and wedding banquets and street restorations and community building. Let's love God and love people. Let's engage in willing service. And let's journey with others in life, in suffering, and in death. For when we live this way, we will journey beyond the cross into the mystery and the wonder and the joy of resurrection. The first woman with cancer knew that one small life is never enough. We know that too. But don't make her mistake. Don't clutch onto your life. Don't protect it at all costs. Just let it go. Just give it away, for then you will know life without limit. Amen. That was a reflection on John chapter 12, verses 20 to 33, given to Sanctuary on the 18th of March, 2018.